welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Reverend Linda Asoff. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
I'm excited because how many of you know that we get to share with others what God has given to us? Whatever that might look like. So in this case, I'm sharing with you some truth that God has given to me that has set me free, that has helped me to live no longer as that orphan, but as a daughter of God. So the title of my message is Forgiveness in the New Covenant. Now this is, I almost named this Forgiveness 101, but I think that for me, one of the greatest things that happened was I realized how important it is to rightly divide the word of God and how to understand there was an old covenant and there was a new covenant and there's not supposed to be mixture. Like we're in a whole new covenant with a whole new way. And if you've ever read the book of Hebrews through, we have a new high priest, right? He's made a new and once and for all offering, and he has become the way, right? So my proposition today is that God invites each of us to trust him as he purifies and declutters our minds and hearts so that we can be free to experience his abundant life. That he gives us opportunity to walk by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and step into a new dimension of seeing God's kingdom manifest in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. So last Sunday, as I was praying, I saw balls of fire coming down, and it was like a night. It was dark, but I saw these balls of fire coming down, and I didn't see any more than that, but I knew that God was showing me that he was sending fire, and it was going to fall on us, or was falling on us. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, we do pray. We pray for the fire of God to fall, or the glory of God to come, but what exactly are we praying for? And as I kind of pursued that with this internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit, God showed me, remember, fire is purifying, right? Fire is cleansing. And so and it's a consuming force, right? And so I felt like what the Lord was inviting us into, all of us, was that as that fire falls, we would yield to the process. We would say yes to God, whatever that looks like. Now, I want to assure you, I don't really know where any of you are in your doctrinal beliefs, but I believe that there are some foundations that are so crucial, and that part of the reason that we struggle to walk in the fullness of who God says we are is because we don't have the strong foundation of believing. Like I think Pastor Janet said it last week, being a believing believer. So we can believe, or we can believe. Right? Even the devils believe there's a God. But does our believing lead us to the place of truth and freedom and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? God wants to set us free. And who can tell me how he sets us free? There's several ways, but there's one specifically when it comes to the Word of God. Truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some translations say, make you free. The truth. The truth. And who is the truth? Jesus. I want to tell you, everything comes back to Jesus. And I was listening to somebody pray recently, and I felt my spirit like churning, and I'm like, oh, they're making too much of themselves and too little of Jesus. Because it was a prayer about what they needed to do, or help me, whatever, whatever. And don't get me wrong, but listen, we need to understand what Jesus has already done. Because he wants us to be free to go past that. That's just the foundation, like time to move up, people. So this is a time to move up. So I'm actually praying that the words that I share with you will bring you conviction. Let me see what your faces look like. All right, so who would share what you think when I say, I'm hoping that what I share today will bring you conviction and repentance, because it's time. So what are you thinking, honestly? Come on. Oh, that's good. In a positive way? Okay, great. Alignment. You guys are good. You know what I used to think if somebody would tell me that? Uh-oh. Time to look at my sin. God's going to show me all the bad things I did. So I'll change my mind and get on my face and tell him I'm sorry and repent. But guess what? The Bible says in John 16, I believe, that the Holy Spirit comes to convict, which means convince the world of sin, the sin of unbelief. They don't believe in Jesus. And then he goes on and says, and then to convince of righteousness. Now, I want to tell you something. I needed more convincing of righteousness than I needed of sin. I was pretty good at convicting myself of sin, actually condemning myself of sin. But I needed convincing that I was righteous because of Jesus, not because of me. And so last week we talked about letting go, and I shared that vision about my hands upraised, but my fist clenched closed, and that God said, until I open my hands and let go of, I can't receive what he has. So one of the most challenging things in the past several years that I've had to let go of is religious thinking and the tradition of men and actually see what the Word of God says. So I'm actually praying for all of us here that God would stir up a hunger for the Word and that it would be a time of the Holy Spirit showing us the truth and setting us free from anything that is the tradition of men or religious. And you know what I mean, like works-based, self-focused, and bring us into the revelation of grace and the new covenant that we live in. So I believe this is a purging season. God's cleaning his house. That's us. And decluttering our hearts and minds through the truth and the gift of repentance, which is changing our minds, and then that leads to a change of our lives, how we live, how we walk, how we talk. And I believe that even though that's an ongoing work, right, James? It's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, that there are seasons when it's accelerated. Because what God wants to do, we need to be ready for. And we need to, again, lay that good foundation. Now, you may already have that great foundation. I don't know where you all are. But I just, as I was preparing, it was so refreshing to me. Because how many of you know we can pick up stuff? And even when we know the truth, sometimes we hear things that aren't true and we don't realize they're not true. And all of a sudden, wow. So as I began to study and read some of the pastors I had read before, all of a sudden it was so refreshing. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's the truth. Oh, yeah, that wasn't true. It was wonderful. So that's what I'm praying for you all. And so I really believe that there's a lot of confusion that keeps us from walking in freedom and manifesting the works of the Holy Spirit around sin and forgiveness and what Jesus actually accomplished on the cross. I know in the past that we've often, as the church, had a sin focus rather than a Jesus focus. In other words, we need to make sure everybody behaves right. We need to make sure we're all doing the good stuff and not the bad stuff. Well, guess what? Good stuff can be sin if it's not what God's called us to do. Anyway, that's an aside, not in my notes. But I believe that as we begin to focus more and more on Jesus, the good stuff, what he has called us to join him in doing, will naturally flow out of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So remember, we do have an enemy. Right? The accuser of the what? Brethren. And he contrives to tempt us to sin so that he can condemn us. And we can agree with him. Oh, you dirty sinner, Kathy. When are you ever going to straighten out? Nobody else has heard those voices besides me. And then you go, oh, you're right. I'm a dirty sinner. That's a lie. And that's the voice of the accuser. And so we need to be careful and listen to the right voices because we can fall into self-condemnation. And I know when I was in self-condemnation, guess what? I was neutralized to a great degree when it came to walking in the fullness of what God had for me and what he had called me to join him in doing. Why? I was focused on me. I wasn't focused on Jesus, really. If you'd asked, I would say I was, but I really wasn't focused on Jesus. I was focused on me, my failures, my needs, my mess ups, my whatever, my. Anyway, so what I want to say today is Jesus has dealt with sin once and for all. He finished the work of suffering the penalty for our sin. What is the penalty for sin? Is it sickness? Is it, what is the penalty for sin? Death. He died, right? He took our death. And then it says he forgave it. He, or there's another big word, remitted it. We're going to talk about what that means. As we put our faith in what he did on our behalf and receive the gift of forgiveness and his righteousness, we are born again through the indwelling Holy Spirit. How many of you know that? Right. And we become what? What? I heard you, Bonnie. Say it a little louder. What is, we become in Christ? Yes. What do we become in Christ? New creations. New creations in Christ. It's right. It's right. New creations in Christ and Christ in us. Okay, so that's the foundational truth. I am what? A new creation. And what about that new creation? That new creation, the Bible says, and man, I could just give you scripture after scripture, but I don't want to overwhelm you too much, Aaron. There is a pillow upstairs. I'm sorry, standing joke. Aaron's going, oh, you're preaching? I forgot to bring my pillow so I could. I said, I know, Aaron. I can go on way too long. So pray for me, please. So it's just because I want everyone to get it. Like, I love you guys. I want you to get it. I want you to be free and just all of us to be able to walk in that fullness. But anyway, In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about as new creations, not using that term, but in Christ, we are pure, holy, blameless, beloved. Oh, there's so much more, but we're a new creation. We're not the old us. The question is, oh, and the truth is, this is good news. It is not a good formula. It is not a good self-help. It is good news. Jesus did it. We receive him and we're a new creation. Okay? Our sins are forgiven, but we're going to get into that too. We just, you know, the challenge will be, do we really believe it? Now, in the past, I would say, yes, I believe Jesus took my sin to the cross and paid my debt. But I didn't really understand. I really didn't. And so I just want to share what repentance actually, what the definition of repentance is, because God gives us the gift of repentance so that we can be free of guilt and condemnation and the power of sin in our lives. Repentance is defined as the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. Who said alignment? I think Aaron did. Which is designed to have a transforming effect upon the life. So it's aligning our minds, our thoughts, right? And then our words, with God. What has he said? What is he doing? What has he done? What is the truth? So because I didn't understand the finished work of Jesus Christ in his forgiving of my sin, or how it had power to bring transformation to my life by the power of the Spirit, I really, I was a believer, but I was religious. Like, okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have been there? Okay, I just kept trying really hard to do what God wanted me to do and failing, but believing, at least believing in Jesus to the degree that I understood, but I didn't understand. So I really believed that God wouldn't forgive me if I didn't do my part, which to me, my part was when he would show me that I had sinned. And sometimes I'm not even sure that was God, but it's okay. Because the accuser, you know, he likes to enlarge sin and make it look, anyway. But anyway, when I became aware that I had sinned and fallen short of God's character, his nature, and his ways, I would repent by coming to the altar, telling God how sorry I was more than once. And I didn't take a physical thing and beat myself, but I beat myself with my words and my thoughts and how I thought about myself. Like what I said to Kathy, oh, you failure. You mess up. How many times are going around this mountain? Right? When are you ever going to get it? God is so disappointed in you. How could he possibly love you? Now, I didn't always verbalize those thoughts and feelings, but they were there. Guess whose voice that was? So, because I wasn't quite sure God had forgiven me, and I think Pastor Janet said this last week, it was over and over. Days would go by and over, I'm so sorry. I mean, we have a lot in common, but I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you how many tears I cried. And you know what I realized as I was preparing this message? It wasn't godly sorrow. It wasn't godly sorrow, because godly sorrow leads to repentance, which is a change of mind. But my mind never changed about my sin. I was always guilty, forever condemned, right? So I thank God now for the gift of godly sorrow, because I know the difference. I cry tears now sometimes when God shows me my sin, but it's because I know, oh, that's not who I am. That's not who my God is. That's not how I want to show represent him to the world, okay? And so it grieves me. And it's like, oh, Lord, help. Anyway, that's not in my notes either, so I better keep going or we'll never get out of here. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles with me, and if you don't, it's okay, but I'm going to be reading Hebrews 9, and it's quite lengthy. But I think we need to, again, make that delineation between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so Hebrews is a great book for that if you ever want to go into an in-depth study about that. But this particular chapter and the next one that I'm going to be reading from is talking about the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. What happened under the law and what happens now because we're under grace and because Jesus came and he did it. So I believe I did the Living Translation if you want to look on your phones to follow along. And if it's too confusing sometimes when the translation is different, just pay attention to what I'm saying. It's good. You can go home and read it again. So Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11, and I'm not going to read straight through, going through 15. It says he, Jesus, came as high priest of this better system that we now have. We could stop right there. It's a better system that we now have. He went into that greater, perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made by men nor part of this world, and once and for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, he took his own blood, and with it he, by himself, made sure of our eternal salvation. I just want to stop on every verse. And if under the old system, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of young cows could cleanse men's bodies from sin, just think how much more surely the blood of Christ will transform our lives and hearts. His sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey the old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. The living God. And where does he live? In us. All right. For by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins. He being perfect, without a single sin or fault. When Jesus came, and think of the old covenant, did they examine the person offering or did they examine the sacrifice? The sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be perfect. Jesus was perfect without sin. So guess what? There is some heresy going around that Jesus was not sinless. He was. He had to be in order to take our place and die for our sin. All right. So now I lost my place. Christ came with this new agreement so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders God has promised them. For Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins they had committed while still under that old system. Skipping forward to verse 22, but I encourage you to read the whole thing when you have time. In fact, we can say that under the old agreement or the old covenant, almost everything was cleansed by sprinkling it with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That means someone has to die. And Jesus did. And for those who believe and accept him, he's already taken that upon himself, and we don't have to be separated from God. For Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear now before God as our friend. It was not in the earthly place of worship that he did this, for that was merely a copy of the real temple in heaven. Nor is he offered himself again and again, as the high priest down here on earth offers animal blood in the Holy of Holies each year. So remember, every year they offered the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And they had other sacrifices too. I mean, you really want to get caught up and read the Old Testament in Leviticus and those books where it talks about the law and all the sacrifices and everything that was offered, and then it had to be offered every year. On the Day of Atonement for the people's sins every year, over and over. Guess what? We have a once and for all time sacrifice that has taken care of the sin issue. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no putting away of sins. So the high priest offers animal blood in the Holy of Holies each year. If that had been necessary, then he would have had to die again and again. And we just really need to understand this. We are forgiven because of Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Okay? No. Okay? Really? We are forgiven. Not because we confessed every sin we did, because of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. There is only one way. And what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. All right. And just as it is destined that men die only once, and after that comes judgment, and guess what? We don't have to be afraid of judgment because we've already been judged. Our sin was judged in Christ on the cross. We have received the gift and of righteousness and forgiveness, and our judgment is passed when it comes to sin. That's good news. That's good news. Don't bring the popcorn to heaven because there ain't going to be no movie where God shows you all your bad stuff. It's not going to happen, and I'll tell you why in a minute. All right, So Christ died as an offering for the sins of many people, and he will come again, but not to deal again with our sins. This time he will come to bring salvation to all those who are eagerly and patiently waiting for him. So forgiveness, remission, denotes a release from bondage, imprisonment. I won't read the original language, which is Greek, but it means to send away. It's used in Luke 4:18 as liberation from captivity. How many of you know that apart from Christ, if we don't have him and we haven't received his gift of forgiveness and his gift of righteousness, we are slaves to sin? Like, no matter how hard we want to try not to sin, sin is our default, right? Like on the computer, that's... But now that we are in Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. So let's go forward and read Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1. The old system of Jewish laws gave only a dim foretaste of the good things Christ would do for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but even so, they could never save those who lived under their rules. If they could have, one offering would have been enough. The worshipers would have been cleansed once for all, and their feeling of guilt would be gone. But just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their disobedience and guilt instead of relieving their minds. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats really to take away sins. That is why Christ said as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you, so you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon your altar. You were not satisfied with the animal sacrifices slain and burnt before you as offerings for sin. Then I said, Jesus talking, see, I have come to do your will, to lay down my life just as the scripture said that I would. After Christ said this about not being satisfied with the various sacrifices and offerings required under the old system, the old covenant, the law, he then added, here I am. I have come to give my life. He cancels the first system, the old covenant, in favor of a far better one. Under this new plan, we have been forgiven. Past tense. We have been forgiven. Because it's by the blood of Jesus, right? And we have been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. Under the old agreement, the priest stood before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that could never take away our sins. So under the old covenant, the sin was covered. Under the new covenant, the sin was cleansed. So then we became a new creation. Right? Got that? Here's the challenge. Next time you screw up, and you will, the challenge is, remember this. We are forgiven. God has forgotten our sin, and we're free from condemnation and guilt. That is good. Joe, that is the best news ever. And you know what? We need to start telling people this good news. We don't have a good plan. We don't have a good formula. We have good news about a person, Jesus. All right. So, where am I? Under the old agreement, the priest stood before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that could never take away our sins. But Christ gave himself to God for our sins as one sacrifice for all time, and then sat down in the place of highest honor at God's right hand, waiting for his enemies to be laid under his feet. More good news, Joe. Here it comes. You ready? For by that one offering, he made forever perfect in the sight of God all those whom he is making holy or sanctified or set apart for him. One offering. Do you consider yourself perfect? We are in our spirit. We are. We're perfectly perfect. We're aligned with God. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come to live inside of us, right? The Holy of Holies had to be cleansed, and our Holy of Holies has been cleansed. We are the Holy of Holies, our spirit. We are a new spirit, man. We're a new creation. And so the Holy Spirit testifies that this is so, for he has said, this is the agreement I will make with the people of Israel, though they broke their first agreement. They couldn't keep the law. I will write my laws into their minds so that they will always know my will, and I will put my laws in their hearts so they will want to obey them. And then he adds, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Pastor Janet said that last week too. So maybe this is Pastor Janet part two. I don't know. But, you know, we come to God and it's like, God, remember that sin? And he's going, no, sorry. And listen, it doesn't mean that God like doesn't know about it. Okay. It means I'm not holding it against you. It's been cleansed. It was judged at the cross. You have been cleansed and forget it. You forget it and move forward with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now, when sins have been once and forever forgiven and forgotten, there's no need to offer more sacrifices to get rid of them. So I really didn't have to stay at the altar and cry and cry and cry and tell God how sorry I was 20 million times. It was done. It was finished. I'm forgiven. I was forgiven. Before I was even born, I was forgiven. That'll blow your mind. Like I wasn't even here. But God is timeless, right? But in him I was, and I was forgiven. Doesn't mean when we're forgiven that we're saved, right? We still have a choice. And we're going to get into that too. But I just want to emphasize that. Forgiveness does not equal salvation, but it leads to salvation. Okay. So dear brothers, now we may walk right into the very holy of holies where God is because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. Remember in the old covenant, there's only one person who could walk into the holy of holies, and that was the high priest. And even then, he had to make sure he had offered the sacrifices for his own cleansing before he went into that sacred place to offer sacrifice for the blood for the people. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I recall seeing that they would like actually tie a rope around his feet just in case. Because if God found sin, what happened? Not good. The wages of sin is death. So I want to encourage you because we hear, this is something that's in my heart and I say it a lot and I'm sure you've heard me say it, Christ in me. When I say Christ in me, I don't mean some like, no, when I say Christ in me, I mean, wow, I know Christ lives in me. For him to live in me, I have to be clean. God's already done it. It's by his blood, not my effort. Wow, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's already done. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, sorry. I get excited. What can I say? All right, so we can go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him to receive us because we have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Now we can look forward to the salvation God has promised us. There is no longer any room for doubt, and we can tell others that salvation is ours, for there is no question he will do what he says. So our sin, our past sin, our just a moment ago sin, our future sin was judged where? On the cross, in Jesus. So it is forgiven, which means what? This is a quiz. Remitted, forgiven, what does that mean? Cleansed, forgotten, taken away. So cleansing goes along with that. So, wow, that is good news. Remember that sin you just did, Joan? Forgiven, forgotten, taken away. You're free. If you realize the remedy has already been given as a gift of God's grace, we don't have to waste all those hours trying to convince God to do something he's already done. Amen? All right. So our sins were judged in Jesus. He was convicted and pronounced guilty, dying as us and for us. He took our penalty, death, upon himself. And here's where the resurrection comes in. He rose again from the dead. And as we read, he took his blood into the heavenly holy of holies to show that the work was what? Finished. Finished. Accomplished. And I didn't use this quote, but I thought of it, James, in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, if there is no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. We're to be pitied more, even more, yes. So I didn't use that, but you can look it up. It's a good scripture, because here is another heresy. There was no resurrection. Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, right? Yes, he did. That was the evidence that everything he had finished was finished. He rose from the dead. That was the evidence that we too can be in Christ and are, when we receive him, a new creation. Because Jesus rose as a new creation. The sin that he became was left in hell, wherever. But he rose, sinless, perfect, a new creation. First fruits. First fruits of us, for us. Anyway, okay. So as we go forward and we practically have to face our sin, what does this mean? Do we need to confess every sin to be forgiven? Some people thought that. I never went with every sin, but every sin that I was aware of. maybe the ones I don't think of. God, forgive me for those too. And anyway, so do we have to? And here's another one. Do we have to forgive others before we can be forgiven? There is a scripture. I just want to tell you, there is a scripture. But are we rightly dividing the word of truth? What does God say? How are sins forgiven? When were sins forgiven? When were our sins forgiven? Is it based on us forgiving others first? Not under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, it's based on Jesus, who fulfilled the law and forgave our sins first. Right? And now we're free to forgive others. In fact, we are told, and we're going to read some scriptures to go along with that, but Jesus, remember, came, what does it say? I think in Galatians it says, he was born under what? The law. And this is another whole sermon. I don't want to get too caught up in that. But he was born under the law. And so there were times he preached law. Why? Because the law comes to show us our sin. I mean, yes, it reveals the righteousness of God. Like if you want to meet God's standards, if you want to be restored to the glory of God, this is what you have to do. This is what you should look like. But we can't. Right? Because we're fallen. We're sinful without Christ. So he showed us that. The law shows that. You know what it even says? That the law stirs up sin. So there's a practical application to that. It's like if I tell you, if you're on a diet and you're trying to eat healthy, and I say, pizza, chocolate. What do you start thinking about? And I say, don't eat that pizza. You're on a diet. Don't eat that chocolate. Don't touch it. You're on a diet. And usually when I say I, it's to myself. Phyllis would say to herself, remember, Phyllis, we're on a diet. Don't eat the pizza. Don't eat the chocolate. Oh, don't eat the pizza. Don't eat the chocolate. Oh, don't eat the pizza. Give me that pizza. Okay, a little exaggerated, but that's kind of how the law works. The more we're told don't, the more we're thinking about don't, the more sin is empowered in our lives, and we do. So what should we think about? Jesus, the truth, Jesus, the way, Jesus, the life, Jesus, my freedom. I don't have to be a slave to that. Now, eating chocolate and pizza is not a sin. I just want to clarify. So, but I don't have to be a sin to that. I don't have to be a prisoner. I don't have to be captive. I'm free in Jesus. He gives me freedom by his grace. And guess what? Yes, we walk it out. In fact, it says we work out our salvation. By what? By agreeing with Jesus, by agreeing with God, what God says and what he's done. And by standing on that, when that temptation comes, when that sin comes, standing on the truth. So we're a new creation, and we need to remember that. So 2 Corinthians, I talked to you about that already, verse 5, starting in 17 to 21. But I want to read in verse 19. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins or the world's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ himself were pleading with you, receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. And in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Actually, he came to live inside of us. Christ is our righteousness, and he lives in us by the power of the Spirit. But the part I focus on is we look at the world and we say, wow, look at all their sin. God must be pretty upset with them. But really, God says, look, forgiveness was for the world. It's for them. Have they received it? No. But does he want them to? Yes. Is he holding their sin against them? No, not in the way we think. Oh, you're struggling with lying. You're struggling with stealing or drug addiction. Oh, God's upset with that. No, the only sin that keeps us from God is the sin of unbelief in Jesus. Jesus did it. So what's the good news? It's like if Kathy and I had a little problem and I did something and hurt Kathy, right? Let's pretend she's God, but we know she's not. but Christ does live inside of you. So Kathy could justifiably be upset with me because I hurt her. I did something to hurt her. But because we're saying she's God, she actually forgave me and I never even asked her. She just chose to do what needed to be done to forgive me. And so now I come to her and I say, oh, I am so sorry. I finally come to my senses because I wouldn't want to hurt my friend Kathy. So I come to my senses and I say, I'm so sorry. And she says, oh, no problem. I've already forgiven you. Now we can be reconciled. We can be friends. We can, in the case of Christ and us, we can become his child, right? A new creation. God's already done it. As far as he's concerned, there's nothing to forgive in that sense that separates us from him. His arms are wide open. That's the good news. Again, the only thing that separates the world is they don't believe in Jesus and they haven't received him. When they receive him, all that other stuff, God will bring about that transformation that he's bringing about in all our lives now, right? That sin no longer holds that power over them, the other stuff. You know what I mean? So it's so important. I didn't understand that. And that really helped me to be more diligent to pray for the world with truth and compassion and knowing, hey, God not only desires that none should perish, he's already forgiven them because how are we forgiven? Jesus on the cross, shedding his blood, taking our place for the whole world. That set me free because I'm thinking, well, if he's already forgiven the whole world, and he's not holding their sin against him, why do I think he's holding my sin against me? Sometimes it takes a while for things to get through to me, though, Nancy. All right. So because we are new creations in Christ, we're not sinners anymore. We're saints. But guess what that means? we have new desires. So to say that we're sinning and we can't help it, it's not really true, because we also have a new power source, right? We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have the truth that this is not who we are. We're sons of God. God doesn't do this. I don't really want to do this. I mean, I can remember counseling people and they would say, oh, I did whatever. I sinned. And I feel so bad about it. I wish I hadn't done it. And I'm, you know, like they were into the whole self-condemnation thing. But I said, listen, the very thing that you, the fact that you feel bad about your sin is good, because it shows me you really are a child of God. You should feel bad about your sin in that sense, because it doesn't align with who you are in Christ. It is contrary to your new nature. You are a new creation. You are made in and recreated into the image of God, and you carry Christ in you. And he is not like that, right? And you aren't really either. It's not you. It's not who you are. And you have power to say no to sin. Not in your own self-will, I won't, I won't, I won't, but in Jesus, I need you, oh, I need you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for empowering me. Thank you for transforming me. So one of the things that I have discovered, uh-oh, I better hurry up, Aaron. One thing I have discovered is that I lost my train of thought. All right, so we need the Lord, and not to listen to the lies and the accusations. So because forgiveness means to send away, we can rest in what Christ has already done for us. One of the notes I read by an author, he's not a pastor anymore. He did pastor, but he's a Christian author, Paul Ellis. He said, prior to the cross, Jesus preached conditional forgiveness to people living under the old covenant. If you forgive, God will forgive. And that's found in Matthew 6, 14 and Mark 11, 25. However, as the messenger of the new covenant, he both proclaimed and demonstrated unconditional forgiveness. See Luke 23, 34. Oh, there's a whole list of scriptures. If you want them, see me after. Okay, so and this is a quote from Paul, on the cross, the Lamb of God bore the sins of the whole world. All your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, carried away as far as the east is from the west. How many of you used to quote that to yourself, like, oh, my sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness, but I'm not going to forget them. God might forget them, but I know, I messed up. I was bad. No. See, we need to believe the truth. God forgave them. Who are we not to? Jesus paid the ultimate price so we could be free and that we could have that forgiveness. And when we hold on to sin and condemn ourselves because of our failures, it's almost like spitting in the face of Jesus. It's almost like saying, not enough. Not enough. I got to beat myself up some and repent and do penance and make myself worthy. You name it, it's what the enemy lies to us, right? He lies to us, and we listen, unfortunately. Anyway, so he's forgiven or carried away our sins. On the night he rose from the dead, Jesus told the disciples this. He said, preach the remission of sin, or the good news of unconditional forgiveness and repentance. Not as something they have to attain forgiveness, but something they have to believe and receive. Does that make sense? Like, God's already forgiven you. What are we preaching? God's forgiven you. He loves you. He's got his arms open, waiting for you to receive the gift of righteousness, the gift of being made right with God, the gift of being forgiven, the gift of being able to walk free, the grace of God that helps us to be victorious in this life. He's there. He wants you. He loves you. Really. Really. So yes, there's more, and we can get into the whole stuff we're learning in but that's the good news. That's the gist of the good news. And so this is what we have to share with the world. I didn't know this. I found this out this week. before he died, Jesus prophesied that all sins would be forgiven on the cross, and on the cross, that prophecy was fulfilled. And that is in Mark 3:28. Truly and solemnly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever abusive and blasphemous things they utter. That's from the Amplified Version. Truly I say to you, they will be forgiven. Remember, before the cross, he was saying this. So now after the cross, all sins are forgiven. All our sins and trespasses done away with once and for all. Forgiven, forgotten, and free. That's what I want you to remember. When you're challenged, because you will be, because we all do mess up time to time, right? We need to hold on to this. Forgiven, forgotten, and free. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did on that cross. My sins are forgotten. God said, not going to hold them against me. And now I'm free. I don't have to do that sin anymore. I'm free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Forgiven. Everybody say that. Forgiven, forgotten, and free. Hopefully you don't all have to go through what I went through years ago, but it will be challenged, so we just need to be prepared. We need to know the truth so we can be free. God keeps no record of wrongs, and so he is love. He keeps no record of wrongs. We need to let go of our record of our wrongs and let Jesus get what he died for, a forgiven, free people. All right, I'm just going to skip through because I don't want to go too much longer. I only have 4 more pages, Aaron. How are we doing? All right, so there was one other thing I wanted to touch on briefly, talking about confession. Confession really means to agree with. The word is homologeo or something like that, but, you know, homogenized, all green, whatever. Anyway, it means to agree with. So when we confess, we're agreeing with God. Now, I used to think that meant I was agreeing with God that I was a rotten, dirty sinner, even though I had received Christ. I agree, God, I am a rotten, dirty sinner. But guess what? God wants us to agree with him that we are now righteous. We are forgiven. We are sons and daughters of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Now, not when we get to heaven, now we are in Christ. He is in us. And so, where was I going with that? Okay, I keep losing my train of thought. Do you think there's a reason for that? All right. So, and I just want to say, there's a famous scripture, 1 John 1:9. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it really is saying. And I just want to say, 1 John 1:9 is not the formula for getting rid of sin. Like, you find out your sin, oh, I better go confess. And if I confess, then God will forgive me. 1 John 1 is actually John's invitation to people who didn't believe in Jesus, because they didn't really believe they were sinners and needed a savior. Now, I know Gnosticism was coming into the church. I haven't done a study really well on that. I don't know if you know more about it, James. But there were heresies that had infiltrated the church through people who came in. And they didn't believe. I know they didn't believe Jesus came in bodily form as the Son of God. They didn't believe that they were sinners. So John is saying, listen, listen, listen. I want you to have the same fellowship with God that I have with God. But in order to do that, you have to admit you're a sinner and you need a savior. So if you will confess your sin, God will be faithful to forgive you and cleanse you because he's already done it. And actually, one footnote I read said that was actually quoting Old Testament scripture from the Psalms and Proverbs, I believe, about confessing our sin and God will forgive. That type of thing. So he was using, because what did they have when those letters were written in the New Testament? What did they have? They had the Old Testament. So how often do we see the Old Testament quoted because the author's making a point? Remember, this is what it says. This is now what God has done. So that's kind of what he was saying. So anyway, I encourage you to read that. Go online, check out, but read it with a new lens. Like, our sin is forgiven in Christ because of his blood. We're forgiven, it's forgotten, and I'm free. Okay? So I'll close with one other thought, and it came last week. I think it might have been part of the impetus for this message, but I was thinking about how there are some churches that forgiveness to one another is a big part of their doctrine and their practice. And thinking about the Protestant church, because we're Protestant as opposed to Catholic, how we don't often confess our sins to one another. There's not a lot, if you look in the Bible, that where it talks about confessing sin. 1 John 1:9. But then there's another scripture in James that says, confess your sin one to another that you may be healed. So there may be a time we do need to confess to someone else the sin as the Holy Spirit leads us. But there's a reason for that, because we may be in a place where the enemy's got us so wrapped up around the lies and the self-condemnation that we need someone like a Pastor Janet or a Kathy to come along and say, no, wait a minute, remember? That's not the truth. This is the truth. You are forgiven. God has forgotten your sin. He has set you free. You don't have to be a slave to that anymore. You have power because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a new creation. That's not even what you really want. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, our flesh may say, that's what I really want. Here again, we're a new creation. We have to designate between who we are now as a new creation and who we were before we were crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:19 and 20. I'm crucified with Christ. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. In this life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a new creation. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. And I may tell you that if you ever say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll say, yes, you are saved, and yes, you were a sinner, but God says now, you're a saint, you're a son, forgiven, forgotten, and free. Amen. The last part of this, and again, I don't have time to go into it, but when Jesus now talks to us about us forgiving, we don't forgive to be forgiven. We forgive because we've been forgiven. So that's found in Colossians chapter 3. But you can look it up in your concordance. It's also found in Ephesians. It says, now that we have been forgiven. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. It says, as therefore God's picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Accept life and be most patient and tolerant with one another, always ready to forgive if you have a difference with anyone. Forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven you. And above everything else, be truly loving, for love is the golden chain of all the virtues. And the other verses are Ephesians 1:7. And 4:32 that talk about us forgiving. So here's your homework, besides what I already gave you, is go home and look, think about, pray about, read about, how did Jesus forgive you? Right? Did he require you to confess your sins to him first? Nope. Did he hold it against you for a while until you did enough penance? Nope. Jesus forgave us. He took the initiative. He did it fully, and he did it freely through his death on the cross. So now we're invited to that same journey through his power, living in us, to be the one that says, you know what? I'm not going to take offense. I'm going to forgive. Lord, help me. And I know it's a journey sometimes. It's a process often. depending on the degree of the harm and the hurt that was inflicted. But it's what we're called to, and it's what Jesus wants to do through us so that we can be free. Amen. So, forgiven, forgotten, and free. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. And feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.